All right, get ready because today we are going deep, deep into snus and nicotine pouches.
Ooh, sounds interesting.
It is. Our source material is the website Snusline.
Okay.
And just glancing through it, some of these brand names, Siberia, Pablo, and flavors like blueberry snus.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a whole world I'm ready to learn more about.
Well, it is fascinating how snus has evolved. I mean, we know that in Sweden, it's been a cultural staple, right, for centuries.
Yeah.
Traditionally, a moist tobacco product,
Right.
tucked under the lip.
Right.
But what we're seeing on Snufline, it hints at a much broader landscape now.
It does. It features both this traditional snus and these modern nicotine pouches.
Right.
So for those of us who might be new to all this, what is the essential difference?
The key distinction is tobacco.
Okay.
Traditional Swedish snus contains it, while modern nicotine pouches are tobacco-free.
Okay.
Both deliver nicotine, but the experience can vary, quite a bit.
Okay.
And it seems like there's a real movement towards these newer pouches, these tobacco-free pouches.
So is it fair to say that both types, whether with tobacco or without, are still used the same way?
Exactly, yeah. Both
Okay.
are placed under the lip.
Gotcha.
And what I really like about Snusline is it seems to be catering to both newcomers and veterans. They even have, labels for some products, calling them beginner-friendly,
Oh, that's cool.
like General Snusus, 77 All White, and Ace Nicotine Pouches.
Smart move. Considering the range of nicotine strengths they list,
Oh, yeah.
pouches go from 4 milligrams to 40+ milligrams.
Wow, that's a huge difference.
That is a huge difference. Do users typically experiment with different strengths?
Absolutely. I mean, it's all about finding what, satisfies your cravings
Yeah.
without being overwhelming. So someone might start with, a lower strength like General and gradually explore stronger options if they feel the need.
Speaking of variety, let's talk about these flavors. Blueberry, bergamot, even coffee-flavored pouches.
Right.
Are we seeing a shift away from the traditional tobacco taste, a move towards something more, I don't know, mainstream?
Yeah, that's a really interesting observation. What's interesting is that the flavor profiles have exploded, in recent years, particularly with the rise of nicotine pouches. It's partly driven by consumer demand, right, for variety.
Yeah.
But also, I think there's an attempt to appeal to a wider audience, maybe even those who wouldn't typically consider tobacco products.
And then they have a whole section on caffeine pouches.
Oh, interesting.
No nicotine, just a jolt of caffeine delivered the same way.
Oh, wow.
Is this basically an energy drink for your gums?
That's a great question. I mean, essentially, yes,
Okay.
caffeine pouches offer, a caffeine boost without the sugar and calories of a traditional energy drink,
Oh, okay. Interesting.
releasing caffeine through absorption by the gums.
So are there any age restrictions or potential health concerns with those?
Yeah, that's a really good point. There are often age limits, similar to regulations for energy drinks.
Gotcha.
And oral health is definitely something to consider with both nicotine and caffeine pouches,
Okay.
but we can maybe explore that in a bit more detail later on.
Good point. What really caught my eye is they also sell vape products.
Hmm.
Is there a connection between snus users and those interested in vaping? Do they attract similar customer bases?
There's definitely some overlap.
Okay.
Some people use both, perhaps choosing, one for certain situations and the other for different contexts.
Yeah.
It could be about personal preference, social acceptability, or even, the different sensations each product offers.
So it's not just traditional Swedish snus anymore. We
Right.
have tobacco-free nicotine pouches, caffeine pouches, vape
The
products.
variety is
The
incredible.
options are expanding. And speaking of options, the brand names alone are a journey. Siberia, Velo, Zyn, Odin's, Pablo.
Right.
Any of these stand out to you in terms of their target audience or reputation?
Yeah, several of those are major players. Siberia, for example, is known for its extremely high nicotine content,
Okay.
making it popular among, experienced users who really want that strong kick.
Oh, wow.
Velo, on the other hand, is often associated with a wider variety of flavors and strengths,
Okay.
appealing to a broader audience, perhaps those who are newer to the world of SNES.
It sounds like even within the world of snus, there's a whole spectrum of choices catering to different needs and preferences.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And what's particularly fascinating is how these choices might be evolving.
Yeah.
The emergence of these tobacco-free nicotine pouches, for example, raises some interesting questions about the future of traditional tobacco use.
Right. Are we witnessing a shift away from traditional tobacco products?
Yeah.
Are nicotine pouches, especially those without tobacco, going to become the dominant form of nicotine consumption?
Yeah.
Or are we seeing like a generational divide within the snus world itself?
That's a big question, and one
Yeah.
that researchers are grappling with. Right now,
Yeah.
these pouches offer a a potentially less harmful way to get a nicotine fix.
Okay.
The appeal to a generation that's more health conscious.
Right.
And might not be drawn to the traditional image of smoking or chewing tobacco.
It's like we're seeing two worlds colliding, the traditionalists who value the authenticity of Swedish snus.
Yeah.
And those who are drawn to the cleaner, more discreet options.
Right.
And then you have the caffeine pouches shaking things up even further.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think they could disrupt the energy drink market?
It's certainly possible.
Yeah.
You know, caffeine pouches are convenient, potentially healthier than sugary energy drinks.
Right.
And the discreet format could be a game changer for certain situations where cracking open a can just isn't practical.
I can see it now, like ponging a caffeine pouch during a board meeting instead of sneaking out for a triple espresso.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It opens up a whole new realm of possibilities.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is that, you know, ties back to the question of evolving consumer needs.
Right.
What's driving this shift? Is it convenience?
Yeah.
Health concerns, a desire for more discreet options.
It seems like the reasons are multifaceted.
Yeah.
But for the average person who's intrigued by all this but doesn't know where to start, what advice would you give them?
I'd say don't be intimidated by the variety.
Okay.
Websites like Snusline, you know, do a good job of providing clear information on each product, from nicotine strength and flavor profiles to user reviews.
Right.
They even have sections specifically for beginners.
That's great.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's out there.
And they recommend starting with a product with a lower nicotine strength, which seems like a sensible approach.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. You don't want to jump into the deep end right away.
Precisely. Start slow, experiment, and find what works best for you.
Right.
And, of course, always be mindful of any age restrictions and potential health considerations.
Right. Right.
Speaking of which, let's address the elephant in the room, you know, the potential impact of snus and nicotine pouches on oral health. They may not be smoked, but they are in direct contact with the gums.
Right. That's a crucial point.
Yeah.
While these products might be less harmful than cigarettes, they can still have negative effects on oral health if used excessively or improperly.
Right.
What are some of the specific risks people should be aware of?
One major concern is gum recession.
Okay.
Constant pressure from the pouch can lead to, you know, tissue damage,
right,
exposing the roots of the teeth and increasing the risk of sensitivity, decay, and even tooth loss.
Yikes. That doesn't sound good.
Yeah, it's not.
Anything else?
Another risk is stained teeth.
Oh, okay.
Nicotine itself can cause staining, and some flavored pouches contain ingredients that can further contribute to discoloration.
So moderation and good oral hygiene are key.
Absolutely.
Just like with anything else, it seems.
Yeah, it's all about balance.
It seems there's still a lot we don't know about the long-term effects of these products.
That's true.
Especially the newer tobacco-free pouches.
Right.
Yeah.
More research is definitely needed. But it's crucial for consumers to be informed and make educated choices based on the available evidence.
Right.
And that brings us back to Snusline and its role in all this.
Okay.
They do touch on the potential of these products for harm reduction.
Okay.
Particularly for smokers trying to quit.
Yeah.
Do you see any merit in that argument?
It's a complex issue, and there's no easy answer.
Right.
Some studies suggest that snus, especially, may be less harmful than cigarettes and could potentially help smokers transition away from combustible tobacco.
Yeah.
But it's crucial to remember that any form of nicotine consumption carries risks.
Of course.
And these products shouldn't be seen as a completely safe alternative.
Exactly. It's a balancing act.
Right.
Weighing potential harms against potential benefits.
Right.
And ultimately, it's up to each individual to decide what's right for them.
Yeah.
Armed with the best information available.
Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground today.
We've
explored the history of snus, the rise of tobacco-free nicotine pouches, the caffeine pouch phenomenon, the connection to vaping, and even delved into some health considerations.
Absolutely.
It's a fascinating and rapidly evolving world.
It really is.
And who knows what the future holds? Will we see even more innovative products emerge? Will regulations change?
Right.
Will consumer preferences shift even further away from traditional tobacco? Only time will tell.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
It's definitely something to keep an eye on. But for now, I think we've given our listener plenty to chew on.
Pun intended.
Perhaps. But on a serious note, I think the biggest takeaway here is that the world of snus and nicotine pouches is far more diverse and nuanced than most people realize.
Right.
There's a whole spectrum of options out there.
Right.
And it's up to each individual to explore, experiment, and find what works best for them.
And as with any product that affects your health, it's essential to stay informed, weigh the risks and benefits, and make choices that align with your personal values and goals.
Excellent advice. So for our listener out there, I'll leave you with this final thought. If you're curious about snus and nicotine pouches, don't be afraid to do your research, ask questions, and perhaps even give a low-strength option a try.
Right.
You might be surprised by what you discover.
And who knows, you might even find yourself craving a blueberry snus.
Hey, I'm not ruling anything out at this point. This deep dive has definitely opened my mind to a whole new world.
Me too. It really does seem like there's a movement towards more modern forms of nicotine consumption, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And that makes me wonder about the regulatory landscape. Is it catching up to these innovations? Like, are regulations for nicotine pouches the same as for traditional tobacco products?
That's a really important point. And the answer isn't always straightforward.
Okay.
Regulations can vary widely, you know, from country to country.
Right.
And even within different regions of the same country.
Gotcha.
In some places, you know, nicotine pouches might fall into the same regulations as traditional tobacco, while in others they might be treated more like dietary supplements.
So it's a bit of a Wild West out there, at least in terms of regulation.
In some ways, yeah, it is.
Okay.
And this regulatory uncertainty adds in a little layer of complexity to the whole discussion, you know.
Right.
It makes it even more important for consumers to do their research and understand what they're getting into.
This all makes Snusline's role even more interesting. They're not just selling products. They're providing information and guidance.
Exactly.
In a space that's still evolving.
Yeah, I mean, they even have sections dedicated to explaining the different regulations and age restrictions in different regions.
Oh, wow.
You know, that kind of transparency is crucial for consumers, especially those who are new to this world.
You mentioned earlier that some people view snus and nicotine pouches, especially the tobacco-free versions, as potential harm reduction tools.
Right.
Could you expand on that a bit?
Sure.
What's the evidence there?
So the harm reduction argument essentially hinges on the idea that while nicotine is addictive,
right,
it's the combustion of tobacco that releases the majority of the harmful chemicals,
okay,
associated with smoking-related diseases.
Gotcha.
So the logic goes, if you can provide people with a way to get their nicotine fix,
yeah,
without those harmful chemicals, you can potentially reduce the overall harm.
That makes sense. But I imagine there are a lot of nuances to that argument.
Absolutely. There's ongoing debate about the long-term health effects of snus and nicotine pouches,
okay,
whether they truly serve as a gateway to quitting nicotine altogether,
yeah,
or if they simply perpetuate dependence.
And what about the impact on youth? Is there a concern that these products, especially with their appealing flavors and discrete formats, might attract a younger audience?
Yeah, that's a valid concern, and it's one that, you know, public health officials are closely monitoring. Some argue that these products could renormalize nicotine use.
Okay.
And make it more appealing to youth who might not have otherwise considered, you know, traditional tobacco products.
So it's a delicate balancing act between potential harm reduction benefits for current smokers.
Right.
And the potential risks of attracting new, younger users.
Precisely. And that's where education and regulation become even more important.
Speaking of education, I noticed that Snusline includes a section on responsible use.
Okay.
What are some of the key messages they emphasize?
Well, they highlight the importance of starting with, you know, lower nicotine strengths.
Okay.
Being aware of your own tolerance and avoiding overuse. They also encourage users to stay informed about potential health risks.
Right.
And to consult with a healthcare professional if they have any concerns.
It's good to see them taking that proactive approach.
Yeah.
It reinforces the idea that they're not just trying to sell products, but also to educate consumers and promote responsible use.
Exactly. And that's something that's often overlooked in discussions about these products, you know.
Right.
There's a tendency to focus on the negatives.
Yeah.
But it's important to acknowledge that there are companies and individuals out there who are genuinely committed to harm reduction,
right,
and responsible use.
It's a reminder that even in a complex and sometimes controversial industry, there's room for nuance and ethical considerations.
Absolutely. And those considerations should be at the forefront of any conversation about the future of, you know, snus, nicotine pouches, and other alternative nicotine products.
Now, you mentioned earlier that some of the brand names on Snusline stood out to you.
Right.
Could you tell us a bit more about what makes those brands unique?
Sure. Take Siberia, for example. It's known for its incredibly high nicotine content.
Okay.
Which makes it popular among a specific type of user, you know, who's,
right,
who's looking for an intense experience.
Yeah.
It's almost become a bit of a legend, you know, in the snus world.
Right.
But it's definitely not for everyone.
It sounds like it's for the hardcore snus enthusiast.
Exactly. Then you have brands like Velo that have taken a different approach. They focus on a wider variety of flavors and nicotine strengths, aiming to appeal to a broader audience,
Okay.
including those who are newer to snus or looking for something less intense.
So they're catering to those who might be transitioning from traditional cigarettes or those who are just curious about trying snus for the first time.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
And they've also been very successful in marketing their products as modern and stylish,
Right.
which has helped to change the perception of snus
Okay.
among some consumers.
It's interesting how these different brands are carving out their own niches within the market, you know,
Yeah.
appealing to different segments of consumers.
It is, and it speaks to the growing diversity of the snus and nicotine pouch market as a whole.
Okay, so we've talked about the rise of tobacco-free nicotine pouches,
Right.
right? The potential for harm reduction, the regulatory landscape, responsible use,
Yeah.
and even brand differentiation.
Yeah, it's a lot.
What stands out to you as the most fascinating aspect of all this?
Honestly, for me, it's the potential for disruption. You know,
Okay.
we're seeing a shift away from traditional tobacco products,
Yeah.
the emergence of new technologies and delivery systems,
Yeah.
and a growing awareness of the need for harm reduction.
Right.
It's a really dynamic time in this industry, and it'll be fascinating to see how it all plays out in the years to come.
I agree. It feels like we're on the cusp of something big, a real paradigm shift in how we think about and consume nicotine.
And who knows what innovations are just around the corner. Maybe we'll see, you know, even more personalized nicotine delivery systems or products that incorporate other, you know, beneficial ingredients.
Right.
The possibilities seem endless.
It's exciting and a little bit daunting at the same time.
Yeah.
But that's what makes it so interesting to explore.
Exactly. And speaking of exploring, there's one more aspect of this world we haven't touched on yet.
Okay.
The social and cultural dimensions of snus use.
Oh, that's right. We talked about the history of snus in Sweden, but we
Yeah.
haven't really delved into how it's perceived and used in different cultures today.
Right. And that's a whole other deep dive in itself.
Well, maybe that's a topic for another episode. For now, I think we've given our listener a pretty comprehensive overview of the world of snus and nicotine pouches.
I agree. We've covered a lot of ground
Yeah.
from the basics to some of the more, you know, complex and nuanced aspects of this evolving landscape.
And most importantly, we've equipped our listener with the knowledge and tools to continue exploring this topic on their own.
Exactly, because ultimately the most rewarding part of any deep dive is the journey of discovery itself.
So we've talked about the science, the trends, the regulations, but what about the human side of things? You know, snus has a long history, especially in Sweden. How has that shaped its cultural image, and is that image changing with these modern alternatives?
That's a great point. I mean, snus in Sweden is deeply ingrained in their culture. I
Yeah.
mean, it's been around for centuries,
Right.
and it's viewed very, very differently than cigarettes.
Okay.
It's even got its own etiquette and rituals.
Like what? I'm picturing a very specific scene in my head, like a snus ceremony or something.
Well, not quite a ceremony, but there are definitely social norms.
Okay.
You know, traditionally, you wouldn't offer someone a snus the way you might offer, you know, a cigarette.
Right.
It's more of a personal thing.
Yeah.
And there are even certain places where using snus is considered more acceptable than smoking,
Oh, wow.
even indoors sometimes.
So it's almost like it has its own place in Swedish society, separate from other forms of tobacco use.
Exactly. But what's interesting is how that perception is evolving,
Yeah.
both within Sweden and internationally, with the rise of nicotine pouches.
Okay.
These pouches are seen as more modern, discreet, and even fashionable,
Okay.
especially among younger generations.
So it's almost like nicotine pouches are shedding the old-fashioned image of snus
Right.
and appealing to a whole new demographic.
That's what we're seeing. And
Okay.
this shift has implications for how snus is marketed and perceived globally. I mean, brands are now promoting nicotine pouches as a stylish, on-the-go alternative to smoking, you know,
Right.
targeting a much wider audience than traditional snus ever did.
It's fascinating how a product with such a long and specific cultural history is now being rebranded and repositioned for a global market.
It really is.
What do you think this means for the future of snus? Will it eventually lose its connection to its Swedish roots and become just another nicotine product?
It's hard to say for sure. I mean, on the one hand, there's a real effort to preserve the traditional aspects of snus, particularly within Sweden.
Okay.
There are even movements to protect the authenticity of Swedish snus and differentiate it from these newer products.
So there's a push to keep the soul of snus alive, so to speak.
Exactly. But on the other hand, the global market is moving in a different direction
Yeah.
towards convenience, discretion, and a wider range of choices.
Right.
And that's where nicotine pouches are thriving.
It's almost like we're witnessing two parallel trends, a preservation of tradition and a drive towards innovation.
Right. And the interesting question is how those two trends will coexist and shape the future of snus.
It makes you wonder if we'll reach a point where the term snus encompasses this whole spectrum of products, from the traditional Swedish varieties to the modern, tobacco-free pouches.
That's a real possibility. I mean, language evolves and as these products become more mainstream, the way we define and categorize them might change as well.
It's a reminder that even something as seemingly simple as a small pouch of tobacco or nicotine can reflect broader, cultural shifts and societal trends.
Absolutely. And it highlights the importance of understanding the cultural and historical context of these products, especially as we navigate their evolution and impact on our world.
Well, I think we've truly dived deep today. We've gone beyond just the facts and figures and explored the historical, cultural, and even philosophical dimensions of snus and nicotine pouches.
We have covered a lot of ground. But I think the most important thing is that we've given our listener a framework for understanding this complex and evolving landscape.
And hopefully we've sparked their curiosity to learn even more.
Exactly, because at the end of the day, that's what the deep dive is all about.
Well said. So for our listener out there, we encourage you to continue exploring this topic, do your research, ask questions, and most importantly, stay informed.
Right.
The world of snus and nicotine pouches is constantly changing, and it's up to each of us to navigate it thoughtfully and responsibly.
And who knows, maybe one day you'll be the one sharing your own, insights and perspectives on this fascinating topic.
Until then, happy diving.